Oh man, wait, are we in the building today? I'm feeling good today, man. What's going on, everybody? And welcome back to another edition, another installment, a new episode of your favorite music podcast, your favorite music program. On these beautiful streets, the R&B and Chill podcast is back. I am your beautiful, handsome host. You feel what I'm saying? Tata Pod Guy is here in the building. And we are here with you got something to say, Cat? Come on, say it to the people.
Come on, say it to the people. What you got to say? Talk to them. You want to introduce our guest?
Oh, okay. You done walked away. All right. Well, I told y'all, my cat is literally my co-host, bro. My cat is my co-host. She literally sits here, and when her mom leaves and shit and goes to work, it's me and her. So literally, when I sit here and podcast, she literally is my co-host for every show that I do. She will sit here and, she'll have her own little time. So I guess she wanted to introduce our guest for today. But I got the honor, you feel what I'm saying, to do that. So, but before we get into that, I just want to say thank you to everybody that continues to just listen to the podcast, love on the podcast. I'm super excited. We continue to you guys continue to just be amazing in what you do, and I'm super excited for that. So thank y'all for all the love, all the support. We're still charting in the top 10. We're still charting in the top 5. Like, you guys continuously make this happen. So congratulations to y'all. Clap it up for yourselves. You feel what I'm saying? Because you guys make this happen. Again, I want to thank all of the people who reach out to me, all of the PR, amazing PR teams that reach out to me. You guys are amazing too. So shout out to everybody that loves, continue to support this podcast, because we continue to love and support y'all. Listen, we got a great one for y'all today. I'm excited. Definitely a heavy hitter in the game. I'm excited to have him back on the show. Singer, songwriter, musician, you feel what I'm saying? True musician, you feel what I'm saying? Chart topping musician, award winning musician, you feel what I'm saying? My guy, friend of the pod, you feel what I'm saying? The one and only Kevin Ross is back on the show. My boy is back. What's good, Kev?
Man, I feel great, bro. Feeling great. Came back from doing St. Louis and Chicago and starting off the show run that I have called In the Raw 2024.
Yes, sir.
And feeling good, man. 4 sold out shows in 2 cities. So it was really great.
Sold out shows, Kev?
Yeah.
Back to back? Okay, we gonna get into all of that, because I'm excited. But for those who don't know Kevin Ross, singer, songwriter, extraordinaire, been in the business for how long, Kev? What are we talking? 15?
This 10 plus years. 10 plus years.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Decade plus. And Kev came on the show, last year? And we had a great conversation just exploring his journey in music. And, actually my enjoyment of his music, you feel me, my love for his music. Again, I've said to him, the first time I heard him was just off the cuff of Sweet Release, right? And I was like, oh, that's a smooth track right there. And from that point on, I've just been a great, passionate listener of your music. It's dope to hear great R&B still. You feel what I'm saying? And so we give you your flowers, my guy. What's been up, man? How's you're on tour right now. Midnight Microdose Volume 2 has been out. It does amazing. Still doing amazing. How has everything been since the interview?
Oh man, everything's been great. I mean, it's been growth and being able to scale as far as business wise, more streams, more shows, more everything.
Right.
And so, it feels good to be 10 plus in as just a creative in the industry.
Right.
And then, you know, to be in a space with an independent R&B and still, you know what I mean, like making history as far as that radio and, you know what I mean, like, and just seeing that there's so much more room to grow.
Absolutely.
That I'm not at a place where I'm not plateauing, I'm not, you know, leaning on catalog. It's like, you know, the next best song could be, you know, something that comes out, you know, with the new album.
Right.
So it just leaves a lot of room for possibility. And that makes me excited.
I like that because the literal progression, I just, because again, every time I interview somebody, I want to just see, you know, just how things progress over time. And just again, how Midnight Microdose came out and just how everything has just been a very steady but gradual climb since then, and continuously. And I've seen that before our interview, and that's why I had you on the first time, because I'm like, this dude, he got some. You feel what I'm saying? Like, he got some, and I definitely, and I think more people are seeing that. We see that R&B is, I would say, making a return in a sense, of its camaraderie, of its music. We see a lot more people really getting back into their bag, Kev. You understand what I'm saying? Like, how can I put it nicely without being so mean to folks?
Talk to him.
Because, Kev, I'm an R&B nigga, and that's just me at heart. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And I've seen how artists have gone into their R&B bag and killed it, and then come out of their R&B bag, and it's, they go to what's hot, right? Can you talk to just some of the, how can I put it? Can you talk to some of the maybe struggles you have faced as an artist, not going into the direction that every other artist is going into? Because again, I do see R&B coming into another form, another fold, another just pure nature-ism. If y'all get what I'm saying, it's coming back around. Like, that pure form of R&B is coming back around. I see it, I feel it, I hear it, I'm loving it. For so long, we have had just, we're going to take R&B and we just going to go where everybody else go. Has that been some of your struggle in your career? Have you seen that? Have you dealt with that?
I mean, I've definitely dealt with it. It hasn't necessarily been a struggle. You know, you got to understand that doing something that's now is, you know, it's instantaneous. It's like just instant satisfaction. It's like popcorn. It's like McDonald's, like whatever. It's very fast. And you can get far very fast, but just because you get far very fast doesn't mean that fall won't hurt any less, right? And so, to me, it's always been about the staying power. You know what I mean? Like, in a sense that if I can cultivate a community of people that's not based on this fast fixation of current music or the current trend, then we're going to be able to grow together. Right. And so that's where my confidence lies, is in the simple phrase of truth does not change with trend.
You've been legendary in dropping some one-liners on this show, Cam. I'm just letting you know, bro. You've been legendary in dropping some one-liners. That was true. Wait, say it again.
Truth does not change with trend.
Truth does not change the trend. And so when we talk about that instantaneous nature, I see a lot of artists understanding that, hey, you know what, let me go back around and just do it for the music now, or where I was, right? And I'm not crucifying artists for doing that. I as a music enthusiast, as somebody who's listening to music all his life, watched artists really, I've seen how people have gone from their bag and then have to go, you know, and reinvent themselves all over again. I love Usher. I've seen his whole career. I seen it when he went from major R&B and then he shift over to mad EDM with David Guetta and them. I wasn't mad. I just knew he had to reinvent himself.
Absolutely.
I don't know if some artists today understand, I guess, the craftsmanship on how to reinvent themselves in that way by still keeping their bag intact. I think that's some of my maybe question slash issue.
Yeah. I mean, I think it starts with you have to understand that you are a brand first, right? And that if you're a brand and you're a huge conglomerate within itself, then you're going to go into different sectors, right? So let's use Usher as the example to say Usher is the brand, right? And so Usher's truth is that he's talented as hell. He's gifted in what he's able to do. So that means that when you're talented and when you're gifted, then you can go into different sectors like the EDMs and the dance and to pop and to Latin and to whatever that you want to go into because your truth is in your talent. Right. And so no one can deny you of that in every medium that you go into. Even your core fan base is okay with you excusing yourself or to say, okay, I'm gonna give you Usher Plus, I'm gonna give you Usher Light, I'm gonna get you Usher EDM, I'm gonna give you all these different brands or different products within the brand that everybody can share it. So that then when it turns back around within that next 15 years or 20 years, and now you're on a global stage like the Super Bowl, you got something for everybody.
Right.
And so now your brand is in rivalry with the Pepsis and the Cokes and the Michael Jacksons of the world. You know what I mean? If we're relating it to artists. And so that's kind of our goals as artists is to say, how big can we make our brand?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, do we want to stay in one pocket just because we were found in this one genre, this one sector, doesn't mean that we are obliged to stay there. Mm-hmm. As long as we know our truth, we can navigate through to say, yes, my love isn't here, but I'm able to do all of these other things. It doesn't mean that I'm saying forget my core. It just means that I'm diversifying and, like you said, reinventing. And that's the most important.
Right.
That's the only means to our survival as creatives is the reinvention of that. Absolutely.
And I think more artists need to understand that, especially younger artists. You can't stay the same way forever, right? In a sense. Yeah. I'm not saying don't change you, right? But you have to change in order to grow, in order to further your success. You are on tour right now, as you just said. You just came from Chicago and where else again?
Chicago and St. Louis.
Chicago and St. Louis in the Raw Tour 2024. Talk to me a little bit about how the tour is going so far and what prompted you to start the tour?
Well, to answer the latter question, I hadn't been out doing kind of a solo thing in a string of shows maybe since 2017-18. Wow. So it's been quite a long time. I had only been doing spot dates ever since then, which I greatly appreciate because, you know, it's amazing. But I wanted to do a string of shows on my own. And so, you know, yeah, this made sense. And so I wanted for this experience to be vulnerable. I wanted for people to feel like, you know, it's up close and personal, that they can really feel the energy and what I have to offer. Not just as an artist on wax or, you know, when they hear the music, you know, on their favorite DSP, but to understand the distinction live and for them to connect on a different level and to really understand my true intention of when I lay these records down.
Man, first of all, and I think you are in like more intimate settings, right? Now.
Yes.
And that's when you gotta get, cause see, that's when you have to see the artists before they blow up.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Because one, them ticket prices going to go up. The price always going to go up, right? Them ticket prices going to go up after this first tour because, as he said, he's already had two sold-out shows.
Yeah.
If I'm your manager, I'm like, okay, I'm looking at the tour dates. I'm like, okay, all right. I think we can have a sold out tour. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. hypothetically speaking, let's say Kev is working on some new music. Let's say he puts out another project, right? That project blows up, right? Yeah. Price goes up, right? If you didn't see Kev on that first tour, just know them price tickets gonna go up. I'm just saying. That's exactly what happened when I seen Ari Lennox in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
The exact same way. Intimate setting. I have VIP passes. I'm standing in loafers the whole time. And I go see her in the back. It's cool. Take a picture. Yeah. And now, what was that? That was about 3-4 years ago. And now look where she is.
Yeah.
And so I don't say that with no confidence. I say that to say, like, yo, I see the same thing. Yeah. Like, y'all better catch Kev first of all, do y'all see these ticket prices for a lot of these artists right now? Huh? I'm just saying, Kev, let's keep it a buck.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
First of all, we trying to pay rent. The economy is a little messed up right now. Shit is crazy. Niggas trying to get jobs and shit.
It's a little crazy. Yeah.
And then you see these ticket prices on Live Nation and shit. They $300. And I'm like, yo, that's crazy. But I get it. I understand it. This is what I'm saying. Get Kev while you can before you be paying, having to be mad and shit, having to pay the $300 because you didn't sit here and take the necessary precautions to check him out when he had you right now. That's all I'm saying, Kev. That's all I'm saying, Kev.
That's it, bro. That's pretty much it. It's just a progression of it.
That's it.
Just a progression of it. You know what I mean? I trust and believe, and you hit it right on the nose. I do not plan to be in the same space.
No.
Or for too long. So yeah.
No, because I know I plan on getting two tickets to come to the New York show. So
yeah,
that's off the rip. How has in the last two shows, just going off the energy based off the last two shows, St. Louis and Chicago, shout out to both cities. Amazing cities, by the way. I have not been to St. Louis. Definitely want to go. How was the energy in the show? How did you feel being on tour for, like you said, your first time doing a solo tour by yourself? Do you have any guests that are on the tour with you that are coming out to kind of, you know, live in the crowd up for you before you get out there, or are you just it's a one-man band and it's me? Like, how did you formulate this tour for you?
The band is important in the sense of just live instrumentation.
Absolutely.
So, you know, coming with a band. I do have a supporting act for a few of the dates. Her name is Lily Massey.
Got you.
And she will be starting, I think, in Atlanta.
Okay.
I'm in Atlanta May 3rd. I got two shows there. One of them's already sold out, and then the other one, I think, we got like 10 tickets left.
That's crazy. Flex, bro. Flex on them.
Hey, man, God is great for
sure. God is good. Amen.
And so I, like I said, the whole reason of me kind of like doing this was to kind of cut out as much fluff as possible.
Right.
So I'm not bringing out people, because I don't necessarily need that false comfort in the sense to be like, yo, we killed it because such and such came out.
Right. Absolutely.
Like, I want to kill it because we killed it and because we worked for it. And understanding that I'm bringing an experience and that it's not about me just like standing and singing. I'm not a crooner. I'm not, I'm just not this one dimensional artist in the sense of, like, I think people have a preconceived notion of what they think they're going to get from me,
mm-hmm.
from the shows, which is great, because when they see it, then it's like, I had no clue of what this was going to be.
Right.
And so that gives me the edge and it gives me an advantage on a live you know, front because of how I was bred and, you know, kind of my angle in the sense of like, I am built for theater. I'm built for larger stages.
Absolutely.
So when you see me in whatever intimate setting or grand setting, I'm ready for it. And so, you know, it's just kind of like, it's this perfect storm that's brewing that I see within the next couple of years to say, these 300 to 500 seaters that I'm doing now are going to turn into thousands, and it won't be a surprise.
Wait, because we would have stopped. Hold on. I got, hold on. I'm sorry. I got a timeout for you right there. Hold up. Cause Kevin flexing on this. Y'all didn't hear him say that. He tried to gloss over that real quick, but I'm gonna just stop. Hold on. My boy said 300 to 500. 300 to 500. First of all, boy, yo, Kev, I'm saying that is again, we're talking about right now in the industry where streaming is God. And it is so hard for artists to get out here touring. To sell out a 300-seater, 500-seater venue on an independent scale. I want people to understand that and hear that and understand that you can do that too. Right? Yes, like
absolutely.
This is not for play. Like this is there's money out here to be made, right? Absolutely. As you said, your truth is your talent. Like nobody is going to take that away from you. That is amazing, Kev. Thank you. Are selling out like that. Your next show is in Boston, yes?
Boston.
Is there a particular city that you are just ready for? And that you know, like one that you ready for and that one that you know is just going to be it? Or has it already been one with St. Louis or Chicago?
Atlanta's always, for like the past couple of years that I've done spot dates there, has always shown an immense amount of support for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like just the fact that they've sold out a show and it's a month and a half.
Yeah, that's
left.
That's amazing.
So to me, Atlanta is kind of like one of my biggest, it's like one of my biggest cities,
right,
as far as like touring is concerned. So like I'm confident enough that once I do these shows and I have to scale to the next venue.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like within certain markets. So Atlanta, DC, Chicago, these are markets that really have time and time again have shown up and shown out.
Right.
And so I'd say those three, but then like Philly surprises me each and every time. They showed up and what was that last year when I did a spot date, they showed up and sold it out. And so it looks like looking at the tickets, they're going to do the same thing this year. And of course New York, but as far as New York is tricky because
always.
It's so many places that you can perform.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And so, I think I did Sony Hall last year, I believe, and I was surprised by the turnout, like a great turnout. And you know, sometimes in New York, like depending on the venue as well. So like, no diss when I say this, but like SOBs ain't my bag. You know what I mean?
No, that's facts. No. But that's facts. I've learned that living in New York City.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Like New York is not Detroit by a mile, right?
Come on.
And so I've had to understand, okay, where are the good places to listen to some good jazz, R&B music? Like you have to kind of, kind of ask around, right?
Yep.
Because every borough has their own flavor, of course. They own style. Mm-hmm. They own everything. So this jazz club may not be for everybody, but it may be for you, or it may not be for you, but it may be for everybody. So it's just, like you said, every club, every space, every event space is not meant for every artist. And I've definitely come to see that. And that's just not on the artist side when it comes to music. That's just, I think, entertainment space just in New York City. Like, I see it on a daily. So, yeah, that one is tricky. But wherever you come, I'm definitely going to cop the tickets. Yeah. Like, period.
We at City Winery.
That's going to be dope.
Yeah, much cooler vibe. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
That's definitely gonna be a vibe. I see. Are you coming to Detroit?
We don't have Detroit on there yet, but you know, I did Detroit with Kelly Price. What was that at the?
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, so that was a vibe.
Okay, I thought Detroit was on here. You got Pittsburgh and Philly. I think really Philly gonna show up for you.
Philly gonna show up for you for real.
You feel what I'm saying? Philly gonna show up for and especially with all of. Again, the sold out shows that you've been having so far, like that is amazing, Kev. That is amazing to have that support system. Talk to that a little bit. What does support mean to you in the ways that it shows up?
Support is everything when it's mutual and consistent. So to me, as long as I'm consistent with my audience to say, I'm not going to sham you on the show.
Right.
I'm not going to come up and be at 50% on stage.
Absolutely.
And act like I'm not going to be there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you everything. And whether you're discovering, because sometimes people come to the shows and like, they don't even know what to give because they're just like, this is a new thing for them or a new experience for them. Mm-hmm. So I can't expect for them to be like connected.
Right.
You know what I mean? So as long as I bring my 100%, then I know that I'm leaving the impression that I need to leave.
And that's it.
You know what I mean? Yep. So that's it. Like, and they're going to give that support. Right. You know what I mean? Because I truly believe in that. And the energy that I give is going to be given back to me, whether that's within on a monetary end, whether that's on the growth of people showing up. But one way or another, I can't cheat myself because, you know what I mean? Like, fact. The results will show.
Fact. No, for real, it will. And I think as a purist like you, it definitely will show. And you, I think you're the type that if you feel it first, you'll be like, I got to shake this off. This ain't right. Let me get it back. I feel like just the purest musician that you are, you'll catch it before anybody else tries to catch it.
Absolutely.
New music. Do you have any new music on the way? Are we getting some new Kevin Ross in 2024? Again, Midnight Microdose was a phenomenal album. Top 10 on the charts, actually. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. Top 10 on the charts, actually. Still doing some numbers. Are we getting some new music from you, Mr. Ross?
Possibly. Okay. By the end of 2024, you will have new music.
Okay.
This time around, I want to be even more intentional.
Okay.
And like how I go about it, because like, you know, we ain't getting no younger, and when you put out projects, you gotta have energy behind it, and not just like, you know, money wise but you gotta be present in order to promote and support your project,
right?
And that means everybody involved, every team member that's involved has to be in the right headspace. And it all starts with you as an artist and as a creative. If you're not in the right headspace, if you're juggling too many things while trying to release a project, you're not going to get the optimal results from out of it. And so to me, I had to be real with myself to say, all right, in this particular space that I'm in, you know, I'm like, I got these shows. I want to make sure that I give my best within this. But then also to say, when I come back with, you know, to the music and recording, that I don't half-ass it either. Absolutely. To say, just because I'm confident enough to say I know how to make records.
Right.
That I do know how to do. I know when I hear it to say, that's a record.
Yeah.
That's radio. That's whatever. So I understand that part of it. However, it's the other side of it to say, once you have that, to give yourself space to do the proper visuals,
right,
to create the plan socially, to make sure that, you know, I'm not the guy that shows up on social media every day. So I got to set structure for myself to say, I know my weaknesses, I know where I'm not great at, but to make sure that even within my weakness, that I create some type of consistency or stability for my audience to say, you may not see me every day, but you'll see me twice a week.
Right.
And you can count on that for this amount of time. It's like a TV show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I can depend on that TV show coming on once a week.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Or God forbid, if there's some big event like the Super Bowl, the NCAA, they may not show for another 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
And we give them grace because that's our favorite show. However, there is a set schedule that is in place.
Absolutely.
From the beginning of that season to the, you know, to the conclusion of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I find social media works best for me. Me letting people know to say, this is what this framework gonna be. So from here to here, I'm active. We out here. Right. I'm outside. Blah, 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 blah. Post.
Right.
But when it's time, when it's family time, when it's daddy time, like,
I'm out.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I gotta create that balance. Like, it's so many people that have, you know, conflicting views on that as far as work life balance. And
talk about it.
People like, oh, you wanna talk do about this it. And that, and to, you know, to be successful. And it's like, yeah, but even within the 10 years of you trying to build your business and you giving up all this time, who's to say that you're going to be here in 10 years?
And all you ever did
was work to get to a particular space, right, that you'll never see, that you'll never materialize.
Yep.
So I don't subscribe to that. I don't subscribe to the fact of the disbelief of work-life balance until you're quote-unquote successful,
right?
And then that all varies. Like, you know, people will be like, man, Cave, I can't wait till you blow up. And it's like, yeah, but I've been paying my bills with music since 2014.
Exactly.
I've been successful since then. Right? So
what's your definition was of success? Yeah, is like, yeah, what you have put.
My thing is, if I ain't never had to worry about a bill for over 10 years, then off of music, and I've never had to stress, like, for 10 years, I've never had to stress to be like, yo, where's my next meal coming from? Then to me, that's at least success, the barometer, Kev, to say you're
you're successful a
human being.
Yes. When you can sit here and pay your bills off your dream,
yeah,
and be comfortable in that and still do your dream.
Yeah, and look, it's still scale. And still understand.
And that's the thing, it's still scale. And that's why I am a fan of you, not just your music, but just of the man that you are. Because I'm like, having these conversations with you, I'm like, yo, this is, as artists, sometimes I always think about how you move. To me, and this is just to me, but I know a lot of people don't think like you and me. This is somewhat how you're supposed to move, especially in the social media era right now. Yeah, maybe 10 years ago, we didn't have the framework to move on social media the way we do now. Or we didn't have some of maybe the common sense or commonalities in our brain to move the way that we did back then. But now it's been about 10 years plus since we've understood the integration of social media with entertainment, with entrepreneurship, with everything. We've seen it. We've seen the ups, the downs, the arounds. And I don't want to say there's like rules to it. Now there's like a blank blueprint of how you're you should move. And so now it's like in 2024, even when I talk about folks on the podcast, sometimes I'm like, when you start to put stuff on social media that doesn't look appeasing or doesn't look appetizing or doesn't
Like, if it's the same stuff and you're just there just to be there,
yeah,
the substance is gone. The substance is left. Yeah. You have not, to your point, put boundaries on what needs to be. So to the point of you making the music, where is the music?
Yeah.
When we talk about, hey, where's the new music? But I see you on social media damn near every day on live. What are we doing?
Exactly.
What are we doing? What's happening? Are you putting... I always think like this, and I'm an old soul at heart, so I always think like this. Whether the artist is good or not with the album, there is some type of life lived in the album.
Mm-hmm.
There is some type of life. You can hear it. You can listen to it. Whether you like the singing or not, whether you think the album is good or not, whether you think the tracks are good or not, there is some type of life lived, experienced, felt, or had in the album. What we have now, excuse me to say, but what we have now is a lot of lacked experienced music.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, Kev, I think the unbalanced nature of social media and the integration with artists and music, the boundaries of that, just they don't have. So when you talk about, hey, yo, when we here, when I'm on social media, I'm on social media. We live.
Yep.
But when I gotta, when I'm off, I'm off. Yeah. That's it.
I'm off.
That's it. And I think a lot more artists are thinking that way. I love to see it, but it took a while. And this is not artists, Kev. I think that's just a generation thing right now.
Yeah.
To your point, bro, that's a generation thing. Know.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you noticed, but I just noticed this, and this is a very random thought, but there is something that is going on that is much more, how do I say this? I'll just use an example. So I'm more of like a Spotify user. Like, I have a Spotify account. That's what I use as far as to listen to music. However, I started to listen to a lot more audiobooks. And so that's how I, you know, kind of get a lot of like new form information, thoughts, different perspectives, stuff like that. Love it. Right. Love it. Like, right. I pretty much listen to audiobooks more than I do music.
Right.
So I'm reading, I think I finished reading like the Will Smith book. I was like pretty much close to it. Mm-hmm. And then it like stopped me. It was like a hard stop. I'm like, it was like, and it locked all of the chapters. So I'm trying to go through all of the books that I got that I'm, you know, like finna read. And they're like, yeah, you maxed out on the minutes that you have on audiobooks for the month. And I was like, but I got Spotify Premium. Like, there is no limit to what I can consume.
Wait, what?
They're like, yeah. So they're like, nah, for audiobooks, there's a limitation. There is a limitation to on certain platforms. And I was like,
wow,
this is by design.
Oh,
and I'm not saying that.
Whoa.
Yeah. So but it, you know, it's very interesting that I can listen to all the music that I want forever and ever.
But as soon as you pick up that book, boy,
in whatever form it is. You know what I mean? Whether it's paper or whether it's, like you said, whether it's just me hearing it and getting new knowledge, that anything else I'm free to consume. But within books, you set me on a number of minutes.
Wow.
That was wild to me. So we need to be aware of systems that are in place, whether we understand it or not, or until we like it hit me like a wall to say, okay, maybe I need to ease up from this stuff, from these DSPs, from social media, from these platforms that's going on. There's a lot more going on than what we realize. We can have conversations about Huffy bikes, and then you look at your phone and it'd be a Huffy bike, you know, ad.
Kev, don't,
on your,
yo, we can, go into a, Kev, we can have a whole nother hour and go into a rabbit hole on that, Kev, because, yo, what? Why am I? It's like me and my lady can sit here and talk about something, and she go on her laptop, I go on my laptop, and as soon as we go to Google, what's right there? What's right there, Ken? The shit that we talked about. I remember talking to a cruise with my mama about going on a cruise next year. What pops up on my Instagram? A cruise ad. I said, yo, stop with the bullshit, bro. Yo, stop. Like, yo, stop. I'm like, just because I said it, like that is the most freak, like, it's freaky. So to hear you say, like, Spotify really cut, like, oh, that's it. That's enough on the audiobooks. Right?
Exactly.
Like, you can come back to my. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? You come back to my, but that's enough. You done read too much. Come on to the music.
Yeah.
You're right. There is something hidden there. We can't pinpoint it, but in a sense, like, there is something hidden there. And to your point, that is where a lot more artists who are of our ilk, who are a little bit more younger, who are still in the game, thriving in the game, learning the game, even with the knowledge that we do have, still learning, we have to be open-eared and willing to listen.
Yeah.
And read.
Yeah, hello.
And read. Right, and read. For real, read your contracts. Yeah. For real, please read your contracts. Lord have mercy. I will say that in all 2024, read your contracts. Okay, absolutely. Read your contracts. Kev, man, it's always great to have you on the show, brother. For real. Sir. Literally. Yes, literally, bro. Definitely coming to your New York show in May.
Yes,
you have 2 spot dates right there? Or was it three?
It's just one show in New York.
Damn, he do one got show. Only one show. He got two. So let's read this off real quick. So you already had 2 shows in St. Louis sold out, 2 shows in Chicago sold out. You got Boston coming up on April 21st. Yeah. You got Atlanta, two shows in Atlanta. You said already two. Are they both sold out already?
No, one is sold out, and then the other one just has 10 more tickets left. So let's just say
Both are almost sold out now. Damn. So Atlanta, please get your tickets, because by the time this interview comes out, this probably is going to be sold out, all right? May 24th, definitely going to be in New York. I definitely got to put that on my schedule. Well, I will definitely be there. 6 o'clock, absolutely, definitely gonna be there. Don't tell my lady. Y'all don't tell my lady. It'll be a surprise. You're gonna be in Philly on the 25th, and then Pittsburgh. You rounding it out in Pittsburgh. 2 shows in Pittsburgh. So that's gonna be an amazing tour. I'm looking forward to coming to see you. I know your fans and new fans are looking forward to coming to see you, Kev. So we're excited to come see you and continue to do what you do, man. Continue to put on some great performances, some great music. We'll be looking out for sure for some new music coming out from you, any features or anything. So we'll definitely be on the lookout. And do you have any last comments for the people?
I mean, honestly, you know, those who are under the sound of our voice, make sure that you go and get your tickets at KevinRossMusic.com. In the Raw 2024, I will be in Boston. I will be in Atlanta, Nashville, New York, Philly, and Pittsburgh. Those are the remaining cities that I have left on In the Raw. I will be coming to the West Coast, most likely in June or July. So those dates will be added as we confirm them. However, get your tickets. All right. Thank you so much. Make sure that you follow me at Kevin Ross Music on all social media platforms. Peace. One love. Thank y'all.
Oh, there we go. No problem, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show again. Kevin Ross, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure y'all check out again. Get your tickets. Get your tickets for the In the Raw tour. Make sure you again check out Midnight Microdose, which is on all platforms again. And Kev, thank you so much for coming on the show, my brother. We appreciate you. And to everybody else, man, listen, we thank y'all so much. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to us. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. Be sure to actually listen to us on our website at epicechopro.com. That is epicechopro.com, where you can listen to this podcast and others on our network. You feel what I'm saying? If you got an Android phone, iPhone, or Obama phone, we got you. It don't even matter. You can play it right there. You feel what I'm saying? And to our Epic Echo family on YouTube, we appreciate y'all. Y'all can watch this on YouTube as well. So we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. And this has been another one. Y'all stay easy, be breezy, and we'll be out. Love y'all. Peace.
Don't give it all to me, babe. Feelings involved, don't wanna stall you, babe. But in my head, I hope it fall through, yeah. I took a loss, didn't know what it cost, but now I'm ready for you. Ready for you. I'm ready for you. Ready for you. You can think about me kissing me, kissing me, kissing you. How you got me tripping, I'm tripping, I never do. I'm ready for you. Ready for you. Ready for it. Took me a while just to get it. Swore that my love was off limits. Before you had that come and see business. Cause nothing ever was worth a revisit till I saw you. All you. It was make me better, couldn't get my shit together. Watched it fall through till I lost you. Hope it ain't too late to hit me now. I'm ready for you. Ready for you. I'm ready for you. Ready for you. Kissing me, kissing you. How you got me tripping, I'm tripping, I never do. I'm ready for you. Ready for you. I'm ready for it. Had to get it all out my system. Hope you understand my position. I was on bullshit. But now I see you part of the vision. It's concrete, our foundation. Girl, you make me better. Had a dream, you my Coretta. Gotta thank you for your patience. It's official now. I'm ready for you.